Okay, so get this, right? What if I told you that someone could tell how good your English is just by watching how you read?
Yeah.
Like, no exams, no awkward interviews or anything, just you, some text, and someone watching your eyeballs. That's got to sound like something straight out of sci-fi, huh?
It does sound pretty futuristic, yeah. You're right. But actually, it might be closer to reality than you think. The research we're diving into today uses eye tracking to do just that. Figure out how good people are at English just from how they read.
I'm telling you, the second I heard about this, I was hooked. I got to know more.
Yeah.
So what's the deal here? Are we talking like strapping people to these huge machines, scanning their eyeballs with lasers, that kind of thing?
Nothing quite that dramatic, no.
Yeah.
This research is focused on a much more, how do I put it, a much more subtle kind of eye tracking. It's all about what your eyes are doing when you read, like those little pauses your eyes make. We call those fixations when they stop to really take in a word.
Right, right.
And then you've got the super fast jumps between those pauses. Those are called saccades.
Okay, that makes sense. Our eyes aren't just, you know, gliding smoothly across the page when we read, are they? There's like old hidden dance happening. But how do those things, the fixations and saccades, how do those actually tell us how good someone's English is?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that's exactly what these researchers wanted to figure out. So they focused on the TOE, you know, that English proficiency test, super common, especially over in Asia.
Mm.
They were curious if there were any telltale patterns in how people's eyes moved that matched up with higher scores on the test.
Interesting, because, and I don't know about you, but I'd bet a lot of our listeners have either taken the TOE IELTS themselves, or at least know someone who has, and how much pressure there is to ace it. It's not exactly like the easiest or cheapest test out there.
You're absolutely right. And that's a big part of what makes this research so interesting, right? I mean, imagine if there was a good way to figure out someone's English skills just through eye tracking. It could be a game changer.
Oh, I am all for less stressful tests, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But okay, how do they actually do this study? What's the setup?
Okay, so they had these Japanese students, right? And they had them wear, get this, mobile eye trackers. They look kind of like those high-tech glasses you see in movies sometimes.
Okay, sure.
And basically, they had these students read English passages and answer questions about what they read, all while wearing those glasses.
So they're tracking these tiny, tiny eye movements while someone reads. That's wild. But, and maybe this is a dumb question, but how do you go from those movements to understand something as complex as an entire language? I mean, you can't just be about how fast or slow someone reads, right?
No, you're spot on. It's way more nuanced than just reading speed. They use some pretty sophisticated software to break down those fixations and saccades, really get into the nitty-gritty, like how long did each pause last, how long and how fast were those jumps between words, and crucially, where exactly on the page were people focusing?
Okay, yeah. Now we're getting to the good stuff. So what did they find? Did they find anything? I don't know. Did the better English speakers' eyes actually move differently?
Get this. They did find some really interesting correlations, especially when they started looking at those eye movements along with how well people answered the comprehension questions. One of the things they found, for example, was that the more time someone spent in total making those quick jumps between words, we're talking about those saccades again, but specifically when they were reading the questions, the more likely they were to have a higher TOEIC score.
Hold on. So it's not just about speed. It's almost like, I don't know, how carefully someone's really thinking about the question and comparing it to what they just read. Like, they're really trying to make those connections. Could that be it?
That's a really astute observation, actually. And yeah, it's definitely a possible explanation. It could be that the folks with stronger English skills are just more likely to, like you said, really dig into those questions, analyze them carefully, and you see that reflected in those longer saccade times.
Mind blown. This is seriously blowing my mind right now. So we're not just talking about how fast your eyes move. We're talking about what's happening up here, how you're processing all that info and making connections.
Bingo. And there's actually another correlation they found that really backs up this whole idea of deeper engagement with the text.
Okay, hit me.
They realized that people who had higher TOE IELTS scores also tended to have, on average, longer fixations. That means that on average, those folks were pausing a little bit longer on each word as they read.
So they're really spending that extra split second on each word, like they're really trying to soak in the meaning.
Precisely, yeah. It's like they're actually savoring the language, picking up on all the little nuances, which makes sense, right? If they have a better understanding of it, it's going to show up in how they read.
Man, that's so cool. It's like we're literally getting a glimpse into how their brain is making sense of everything just by watching their eyes.
Exactly. And hold on, it gets even more mind-blowing. They found this, like, this super strong three-way connection, a correlation between the number of correct answers someone got on the reading test, the total time they spent making those quick jumps, those saccades, in the question area, and then, of course, their TOEEI score, all linked.
Well, wait, so you're saying all three of those things are tied together? Like a chain reaction, almost better understanding, leads to more focused eye movements in the questions, which then leads to a higher score overall. This is seriously making me rethink how I go about learning languages, I gotta say.
Right. It really drives home just how interconnected all those different language skills are. It's not just about knowing a bunch of words and grammar rules. It's about how you actually use them, how you interact with the language, like with your whole brain, your visual system included.
This is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we talked a little before of how this could change the game for personalized language learning programs. But where else could this kind of technology go? What else could we do with this?
Oh, man, the possibilities are huge. I mean, imagine using this in a classroom, right? Teachers could get instant feedback on how well their students are understanding the material just by analyzing their eye movements.
Oh, wow.
They could see right away who's struggling with certain concepts or passages and give them more focused help right then and there.
Wow, that would be incredible. No more guessing games for teachers. They'd have hard data to back up their teaching strategies. And for students who might be, you know, a little too shy to raise their hand and ask for help, this could be life-changing.
Absolutely. And it goes way beyond just education, right? Think about things like speech therapy or even identifying learning disabilities early on. By looking at how people's eyes move when they read, we might be able to spot potential issues way earlier and do something about it before it's too late.
This is amazing. It feels like we're right on the cusp of a whole new understanding of how we learn, how our brains learn and use language. This is huge.
It's groundbreaking stuff, no doubt. But, you know, it's important to remember that this is still pretty new. We're still in the early stages here, and we need a lot more research to really wrap our heads around what all these correlations mean.
Of course. Of course. But still, the potential here is undeniable. But I want to bring it back down to earth for a second. Let's say someone's listening to us right now, and they're thinking, okay, this is cool and all, but what does it mean for me? How does this help me learn English better? What would you tell them?
Ooh, that's a great question. So we're not quite at the point where you can download an eye-tracking language learning app just yet. But even still, there are some really valuable takeaways here that anyone can use no matter how they're learning.
Okay. Yeah, give us the good stuff.
So first things first, don't get too hung up on just reading fast, you know, trying to speed read your way through everything. Slow down, take your time, and really try to connect with the text. Picture what you're reading in your head. Think about how it relates to your own life. Ask yourself questions about the material as you go. Really make it your own.
So it's about active reading, not just skimming the surface, right?
You got it. And if you stumble across a word or a phrase you don't get, don't just skip over it, you know? Take a second to look it up, maybe write it down a few times. Even try using it in a sentence yourself. Make it stick.
So basically, be present, be engaged. Don't just go through the motions.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, remember, learning a language, it's not a race. It's a journey, right? Everyone learns at their own pace, in their own way. Don't beat yourself up if it doesn't click right away.
Love that. So we've talked about the research itself, all the cool things we might be able to do with it, and even some practical tips for all the language learners out there. But you got to talk about the ethical side of things, right? I mean, this is powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance it could be misused? Like, could we see a future where employers are using eye tracking in job interviews to judge language skills? That seems kind of creepy.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge question, and it's something we really need to be talking about. Anytime we have a new technology, especially one that has this much potential to, you know, impact people's lives, we need to be thinking about the ethical implications, setting up some ground rules.
Totally. The last thing we want is a world where people are being judged and labeled just based on how their eyes move. That's getting a little too Black Mirror for me.
I hear you. We need to make sure this technology is used responsibly and ethically. We need clear guidelines, regulations, the whole nine yards to make sure it's not being misused, that people's privacy is protected. It's a slippery slope otherwise.
I could not agree more. It's a delicate balance for sure. But okay, on a more positive note, I got to say, this whole thing feels like it could really change the game for the better. You know, just imagine what we could achieve if we can use this technology the right way.
I'm with you on that. If we can do this right, if we can be responsible about it, the future of language learning, and frankly, so much more, it's looking pretty bright. It's an amazing time to be alive to see how technology and human potential can work together like this.
It really is, right? Like, it makes you wonder what else our eyes could tell us about how we think, you know? Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
We talked about how researchers are using this eye-tracking tech to see if they can figure out how good someone's English is, all the amazing things we might be able to do with that, like personalized learning, maybe even catching learning issues early on. And of course, we got to talk about the ethical side of things too, right? I mean, it's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is a lot to digest, for sure. But I think the biggest takeaway here, the thing that really blows my mind, is that this research could totally change how we think about learning languages and how we test those skills.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new world opening up.
Absolutely. And it makes you realize just how much is going on in our brains, even with something as simple as reading, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're only just starting to understand what the human brain can really do.
Exactly. And who knows what other breakthroughs are just around the corner, right? The more we dig into how the mind works, the more amazing it gets.
I am so here for it.
Yeah.
This whole deep dive has given me so much to think about, I gotta say. So what about you? What's the one thing that really stuck with you from all of this?
You know, for me, it's that idea that our eyes might not just be showing us what we understand, but how we learn, period. That's a pretty powerful concept, and I think it could have implications way beyond just language.
It really could. Makes you wonder if we could use what we're learning here to help people learn all kinds of things, not just languages. But hey, that's a whole other deep dive, right?
You're right about that. So much to explore.
Always. Well, sadly, that's all the time we have today for our deep dive into the world of eye tracking and language learning. We hope you guys found it as fascinating as we did. What do you think?
It was a blast, as always.
The best. And hey, listeners, if you're as intrigued by all this as we are, we'd love for you to keep learning. We'll have a link to the research we talked about today, plus some other cool resources over on our website. Until next time, stay curious, friends, and keep those eyes peeled.